In this age of decadence, lack of direction and purpose, God has raised seven to raise models of integrity and power. Models that will rise above the limit of their birth, backgrounds and circumstances to dimensions beyond their imagination. Come, let God show you how the vehicle of grace can take you from where you are to where He has ordained you to be. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the preaching and the teaching of a word of life. Join God's choice servant for the world of His grace.
God bless you, choir. Thank you. Thrive. Grow. Enlarge. Expand. Increase. Occupy, dominate, be relevant, gain new ground. And the definition is endless. That is who you are. That is your DNA. Everyone who is born again, you have that seed to thrive inside of you. Everyone who have entered into a covenant relationship with Jesus, the spirit that lives inside of you is not a failure. So you can't be one. You have a destiny of success. You have a destiny to succeed. But Satan has vowed to make sure you fail. Everything you need is in place for you to thrive. Not that it's just in place, it's made available. I want us to quickly take this story from the book of Isaiah chapter 5, beginning from verse 1. Isaiah chapter 5, beginning from verse 1. It says, "Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard in a very fruitful hill." We are in a very fruitful hill. Now, verse 2. We are reading up to verse number 7. "And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and he brought forth white grapes." The next verse, "And now, O inhabitant of Jerusalem, and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, between me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth white grapes. And now go to her, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the edge thereof, and it shall be eaten up and break down the walls thereof, and it shall be trodden down." Verse 6, "And I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor dig, but there shall come up briars and thorns. And I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it." Verse 7, which is the last verse. He said, "For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. And the men of Judah is pleasant plan. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression. For righteousness, but behold, a cry." This was what God revealed through the prophets about the state of his children. Not that it was only relevant to them in those days, even now as we speak, because it is the word of the Lord. It serves the past, present, and future. Is somebody hearing me? And if you look inward deeply, you will see one or two, three people probably may fall into this category. I think he's talking about me. I should be doing better than I'm doing now. My business should be thriving better than it's doing now. My marriage should be doing fine, better than it's doing now. In the office, an assignment committed into my hand, I should be doing far better than I'm doing now. Pastor quoted a scripture, which I want to repeat, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18. He said, I, Paul, will have come again unto you. He said, but, he said once and again, he said, but Satan hindered us. Is somebody hearing me? He has an idea of what destiny, what package God has for each and every one of us. So he has staged a fight, whether you are ready for it or not. The fight is on. Is somebody hearing me? That is why you see that some are succeeding, some are breaking forth, some are still struggling, while some have not even started. Is somebody hearing me? You won't become once upon a time. Yeah. Don't fall into that lie. Don't allow that lie to trap you, probably thinking you have broken through, you have succeeded, and then you want to rest on your oars. No. Whatever you have done to take you up there, you are thriving. You have to keep at it to make sure you are sustained. And whatever others have done to make them break through, are you hearing me? Be humble enough to ask questions. The way the body of Christ is right now is like a woman that is traveling. I hope you understand what I'm talking about. It's like a woman that is traveling and he has to give birth. Is somebody hearing me? And that is how I see quite a number of Christians. But the truth of the matter is that it's a decided battle. If only you would take your place that God wants you to take. He has already revealed to look, everything from the part of God is available. Then what exactly is missing? Then the apostle came up with a revelation to us. In Acts of Apostles chapter 6 verse 2. As the church began to grow, the Bible said murmurings arose. All kinds of crises start coming up. And they just discovered that they lost focus on the assignment. Because in every organization, there is what they call division of labor. You can't do everything. Is somebody hearing me? In Acts chapter 6 verse 2, the Bible says, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is no reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Because if you read verse 1, crisis has started brewing. You know, crisis has started coming up. Trouble has started coming up. And they were sensitive enough to see it. This thing won't allow us to grow. This thing won't allow us to thrive. Because I have never seen anyone who is bitter and is better. Is somebody hearing me? Now, look at verse number 3 and 4. So they resolve and say, wherefore, brethren, look ye among you, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Then we, this is what we have discovered by our research that will cause us to thrive. But we will give ourselves continually to what? To prayer and to the ministry of the word. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Listen to me. Thank God for all of the strategies and all of the exegesis that you have put together. The only thing Satan fears most in your life, beloved, is your fiery lifestyle of prayer. Satan can allow you to play as long as you don't pray. Is somebody hearing me? He can bless you with enough resources, money, as long as you don't take a decisive step to pray. Is somebody hearing me? I'm only sharing one of the points that I will share the remaining one tomorrow. The one I want to share with you is to watch over the seed that you have sown if you are going to thrive. Watching over your seed is the prayer time. The Bible says of the wise men, the shepherd, in Luke chapter 2, I think verse 8 to 10, thereabout. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 10. When the shepherd kept their flocks,
They were watching over their flocks. They had vigil. And in the process, an encounter took place. I hope you understand. They would have missed the angel bringing the good news, if not that they stayed awake. I learned by mystery, sir, that those who stay awake chase the enemy away. Is somebody hearing me? Most of the people that have control over their days are watchmen. Most of the people that have control over their destiny are watchmen. Listen to me. You went to school not for fun. Many of you are graduates, experts. You are professionals. And Satan is messing up your wisdom simply because it's either we don't pray at all or we don't pray enough. Is somebody hearing me? If Jesus, who came from heaven, we consciously create a time and withdrew to a place to pray. He contracted it out to the disciples, thinking they would be able to pick it up. The three times he came to meet them there, they were sleeping. Telling you prayer is a non-transferable responsibility. Because Acts 26 verse 41, it charged them, watch and pray. If your seed is going to produce results, if that business, which is your seed, will thrive, if your assignment will produce results, if your life, which is a seed planted, will ever produce testimony, you have to watch over your life, watch over your business, watch over your business, watch over your family. Listen to me, under the nose of many parents, because they don't watch over their children in the place of prayer, those children grew up to become thugs and area boys. Why? A child left to himself will bring shame to his father, will bring shame to his mother. That is the scripture. A child left to himself, Proverbs 29, verse 16 and 15 and 16. A child left to himself will bring shame. A child left to himself will bring shame. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the head. That is why business is not thriving. Is somebody hearing me? A little sleep, a little folding of the hand, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hand. The Bible says poverty will come like an armed man. Why? You refuse to stay awake so the enemy couldn't stay away. Don't forget that he's a spirit, he's never tired. He walketh about, moving around, to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. So not outrightly he has the power, it's a probability whom he may. Whom he may. Whoever becomes vulnerable, either through carelessness or through prayerlessness. I have discovered again from the scripture, listen to me, except the problem that has not existed, that is the one that doesn't have solution. There is nothing under the sun. God has never created a man he can't control. Neither has he permitted a problem he can't solve. What you call a problem is a solution in hiding. Somebody has it. Somebody has passed through it. Is somebody hearing me? Hallelujah. We are going to stand up shortly, but I need you to understand what God says. If you are going to blow some, sir, Isaiah 27 verse number 6 is a mystery. I'm just picking one of the many mysteries. I pray God time permitted to share the remaining one tomorrow. This is just one. The mystery of prayer, the mystery of watching, staying awake over your seed, staying awake over your business, over your own. Is somebody hearing me? Isaiah 27 verse 6, the Bible says, he shall cause them that come. Say, I will come. Listen to me. God won't go to you. You are the one who need him. Say, I hear. He shall cause them to come of Jacob, that what? To take roots. To take roots. He shall, those who come of Jacob, those who come of the body of Christ, those who come to the place of intercession and encounter, he will cause them. They can't help themselves. They can't help themselves. That is why we cry to him in prayer. He shall cause them to take root. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. Say striving. Say striving. It is not by might, sir. It is not by power. There is a grace that must settle upon your life to make a difference in your life. That grace is contacted in the place of power, sir. The world is tired of explanation. They want to see you manifest. And this manifestation is a function of spirit at work in your life. What is it that is crying on your head? Cain couldn't stand it. There was a grace crying upon Abel that makes carnal things useless to him. Is somebody hearing me? He could let go anything for God. And what most of the things that we couldn't let go is the reason why we stay off track. Is somebody hearing me? We do not have an high priest who cannot be tested with the feelings of our infirmities. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For he himself was tempted at top point and he did not sin. What is he talking about? Everything you can think of, you can use to tempt Jesus. He was, this one can't hold me down. Anyone that will come of Jacob must have left some things behind. Anyone that will come to take the place of, listen to me, power is not cheap. It's meant for the desperate. Power is not cheap, sir. Excuse me, sir. Your life is too colorful to be useless. Don't fold your hands and watch. Satan does not spare anybody. If he could come and meet Jesus, he can meet anybody. Is somebody hearing me? You are going to thrive. This is what God is saying about you here. We just saw it there. And I read my scripture. I discovered that when I was taking a reference, Holy Spirit, from which angle, I don't even know where to start. Holy Spirit, just give me an inspiration. And Holy Spirit began to breathe upon my spirit. He said, check the fathers of faith, or the covenant fathers. They all thrive. But do you know that in Genesis chapter 12, verse number 7 to 8, the moment God gave a promise to Abraham, he raised a prayer altar and God appeared to him. You remember? In chapter 13, he became rich, mighty, in gold, in silver, in cattle. In chapter 12, he raised an altar. God gave him a promise in chapter 12, verse 2 to 4. In chapter, the same chapter 12, as he received it, immediately God ordered him, leave your father's house. And he left. Verse 4 says, and so Abraham departed. Then verse 7 and 8, the Bible says, and he raised an altar. Why? Without an altar, you can't download the promise. There are so many things crying on your head. Promises. You shall be great. You shall be this. Apostle Paul says, Timothy, come. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy. According to the prophecy which went before upon thee, see that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Otherwise it will be a mirage. Revelation chapter 19, verse number 12, verse 10 to 12. He said, do the testimony of Jesus that we share is the spirit of prophecy. Somebody must be in the place where you are commanding the mystery of the word into reality in your life. And God is looking for such a person. May you be found. If only you know how many members of your family that are crying just because you are failing your place of altar. Business is strangulated and is dying in our hands simply because we have failed in the place of our altar. Sir, there are many other factors that makes for thriving, but this one, you can't compromise it. Is somebody hearing me? Say here. Everyone is given an assignment and responsibility in the house of God, in the house, in his family. But are you taking that place? Is somebody hearing me? Now, after Abraham raised the altar, the Bible says in chapter number 13, and Abraham was great. Abraham was what? Great. Chapter 13, verse 1. He was great in everything. He was great. They call him great. I will make you great. God said, I will make a great nation out of you. Isaac raised an altar. Genesis 26, verse 24 to 25. He raised an altar when God appeared to him. That same night, God spoke to him. And as he raised an altar, all the promises, this very land you are occupying, I'm going to give it to you. You will try. You won't be a failure in your state. You won't be a failure in Nigeria. God is telling you. But before those prophecies can materialize, somebody must start in the place of holding the hands of God. This is what you have said. It can be for 1 month. It can be for 2 months. It can be for 6 months. Until you see results, don't keep quiet. All of the days of my appointed time will I wait until my change comes. Is somebody hearing me? A woman prayed for a child for 19 years until that child became born again before she died. Is somebody hearing me? Sir, customers are in your womb. And you know the meaning of customers. Wherever people migrate to, that is where riches and wealth migrate to. People carry money in their pockets. Is somebody hearing me? If you open a shop and nobody patronizes you, you are still poor. I hope you understand what I'm talking about. What we bring there, kia lozina hasha, Isaiah chapter 5 verse 26. He said, I will cause them to hear my whistling. The whistling of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will whistle. And when he whistles, he said, everybody will run with speed. They will come. They have not heard the voice of the Spirit. That's why they have not looked in your direction. That young man is still looking for whom to propose to. Whereas you are somewhere, instead of you to pray and say, God, hold this man by the throat. He can't sleep. On that night, could not King Ahasuerus sleep because he has not blessed Mordecai. Only God knew what Mordecai was doing in the closet. Is somebody hearing me? Isaac, raise an altar. The moment he raised an altar, what happened? We saw the manifestation. If you read Genesis chapter 26, verse 12 to 14, when he wanted to run away, God said, don't run away. Go and do exactly what your father did. He also was sowing the land. The Bible says, and he grew, and he was strong, went forward, and became very great. His father was great. Isaac became very great. In Genesis chapter 30, verse 43, what happened to Jacob? He also raised an altar. The Bible says, Ephraim became what? Exceeding great. There must be progression. Is somebody hearing me? One was great, one was very great, one was exceeding. Now, where will a child of God not justify failure? Is somebody hearing me? Where? From where? Is somebody hearing me? There's many that are connected to God, there is hope. To him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. No, for the time, let me quickly move. Why you have to pray? Why you have to pray is because, number one, prayer is what will cure the affliction your business is going through. Is anyone afflicted? What did the Bible prescribe? It didn't say praise God, though. There is a place for praise. Is somebody hearing me? Is any of you afflicted? What was the scriptural prescription? Let him pray. James 5, 13 to 14. Is any among you sick? He said, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. For the prayer of faith shall what? Save the sick. What is an affliction? Sometimes there are some afflictions that is beyond doctor's ability to handle. Is somebody hearing me? When it gets to that point, that look, I just cannot explain why this business is back and forth, back and forth. May you not have a strange spirit trading with you. Amen. I prophesy by the Spirit of God. Whatever is making your life to be zigzag, not to be straightforward. Whatever is eating you up secretly, from the root, catch fire right now. Catch fire right now. Catch fire right now. Let there be a liberation. Let there be a deliverance. In the name of Jesus Christ. If you can pray, affliction will end. If you can pray, affliction will end. It may not be immediately, but it will end. It may not be immediately, but it will end. He said affliction shall not arise the second time. Meaning in case the first attack prayer didn't catch it, the second attack will catch it. Is somebody hearing me? This is a place of prayer. This is a house of prayer. This is a church that I know is given to prayer. That is why you must learn to take the advantage. Say here. Lay your hands on your head and say, Father, whatever has vowed to keep me small, oh yeah, catch fire and be burnt to ashes. Open your mouth and turn it to prayer. Whatever has vowed to keep me small, whatever has vowed to keep me small, oh yeah, catch fire and be burnt to ashes. Catch fire and be burnt to ashes. Jehovah, whatever has vowed to keep me small, I command it to catch fire and be burnt to ashes in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. When a business is under affliction, it can't thrive. So what will kill that affliction? Have you ever seen somebody who is terribly sick and is looking for a job? Which organization will say, look, this man that cannot work well, that is looking as if he's going to die tomorrow, here come, we are the one who want to give the road of what our regional market. How will he travel? Where will he go? Is somebody hearing me? Even if your job is to be done remotely, they still want somebody who is healthy. Is somebody hearing me? That is why the Bible says the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. Satan knows what he's doing. You are made complete, nothing less. When God fashioned you, made you fearfully and marvelously and wonderfully made. Satan was the one who came to corrupt it and tried to sow seed inside of you that you are a failure, whereas you are not. Is somebody hearing me? And because he has to buttress his lies, which he has told you, so he will be walking outside of you to make sure that things are scattered, to make you believe you are not succeeding. Wake up! And tell that devil, get your hands off my soul. Get your hands off my business. Get your hands off my body. Now, in the name of Jesus. As from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven allows violence. Only violent people take it by force.
Is somebody hearing me? Listen to me. If you are too gentle, I'm telling you the truth. Satan will put you behind. Is somebody hearing me? It's not a spirit to toy with. Is somebody hearing me? If he was, why will you need power? The Bible says, see unto God, how terrible are thine thy wars. For through the greatness of your power, shall your enemy do what? Submit themselves. What prayer we do, that is why you have to pray. What prayer, it destroys affliction. In my little walk with God, by the grace of God, we have seen quite a number of testimonies that are mind-blowing. Amen? And I've seen the hand of God manifest in some people's life. Even sometimes, you may even be worshiping, you don't even know, yet God is busy doing wonders behind the scene. Is somebody hearing me? Praise the Lord. Just recently, last Sunday, this particular daughter of mine, he will continue to come to my office. And you know when people give you first fruit offering, you have to be on your toes to pray for them. Praise God. I've sown seed. I've done this. He will cry in my office. What is he crying for? Husband. I told her, I don't have a younger brother again who is free. If I had one that is still free, maybe I would probably, she's nice, so she's good though. But my younger brother is married, the only one I have left. Is somebody hearing me? What can I do now? Need her again. I can't count how many times I lay hands on her. Keep praying. This last Sunday, she came for Thanksgiving. One day, she and her younger sister got married the same day. You know, there are some times you think you are praying. You are praying. Nothing is happening. Elijah told his servant, keep checking. He said, there is nothing. He said, keep checking. There is nothing. Satan wants you to believe that all your many years prayer is useless, but something is loading. Somebody, your prayers are never wasted. Yes. Prophecies over your life are never wasted. Something is. Somebody shout, something is. Ha. It's not a prayer stirring God, it's a prayer answering God. What will God gain in your poverty? What will God gain in your stagnation? What will God gain in your weeping? Nothing. It gives him so much joy when you are excited, when you are happy. He said, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul. Therefore, I curse whatever is at the root of bitterness in your life. Whatever is making life unbearable for you is cursed. It's cursed. You are released to joy. In the name of Jesus. Wherever you are watching from, distance is never a barrier. Any form of affliction on your soul, right now by the finger of God, is neutralized. In the name of Jesus. What the enemy does is just to cause a siege around you so that you can be going through pain. Is that not what King Ben-Hadad of Syria did to the children of Israel? In 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 24 to 31, after a while, a prophet rose up. By this time tomorrow, somebody must be able to stand for a family and make a declaration that will break the backbone of satanic affliction in your life. I prophesy in the name of Jesus, whatever is holding you bound right now, that grip is broken. It's broken. It's broken. It's broken. It's broken. Whatever is sitting on your joy, on your glory, on your testimony, I say from the root, I command it, dry up. Dry up. Dry up. Dry up. Dry up.
He said, whosoever the Son of God shall set free, he shall be free indeed. God has set you free in the name of Jesus. Every hidden glory in you, every deposit of God inside of you that should make you thrive, which the enemy is holding bound, I set them into action in the name of Jesus. Judge between me and my vineyard. What more should be done that I have not done? He carried it. Oh yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 7. We have this treasure in hidden vessel. You have this treasure. To as many that glory is trapped inside of you. Labayalabakata. Jadagadelakata. Oyabiyus. Oyabiyus. From today, king will send for you. Nations will send for you. Kings will send for you. Suddenly there will be a call. Your employment letter is ready. Suddenly there will be a call. The contract has been approved. Suddenly there will be a call. I am now pregnant. Suddenly there will be a call. Doors are open. Lines begin to fall to you in pleasant places. Because God has spoken. He shall cause them that come of Jacob to take root. Israel, Israel, we bud, we grow, we blossom and bud. Israel, Israel. Say, I will pray. Say, I will pray. Say, I will pray. Hidden glory in me. Hidden glory in me. Start manifesting now. Hidden glory in me. We just start manifesting now. Somebody pray. We just raise your voice. Wherever you are praying from, wherever you are watching from, every hidden glory in your life, begin to manifest. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. You want to try. The second reason why you have to pray is because prayer is what guarantees you access to his mercy. It's prayer that guarantees you access to his mercy. Say access to his mercy. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace. Why must I pray? Because I want to thrive. When I pray, what is available is mercy. Listen to me. Oh my goodness. The Bible says it is not of him that willeth, of him that runneth, but the Lord that showeth mercy. It is not how far, but how well. Listen to me. There is a super God behind a man that you call a superman. Is somebody hearing me? None of us is super. None of us is doing exploit in our own account. But by the mercy of God, I am what I am today by the mercy of God. Listen to me. If you want to know the strength of grace, first of all, understand the strength of mercy. Because where grace, in my own understanding, where grace ends, that is where mercy begins from. Because grace is an enablement to perform more than your age. Mercy is what gives you what you don't deserve. Mercy gives you what you don't deserve. Is somebody hearing me? In James chapter 2 verse 13, the Bible says, he rejoices over judgment. Inside the Ark of Covenant, we have the rod. We have the pots of manna. We have the tables. Abi? All those ones are judgments. Now, on top of it, you have the mercy seat. Now, face to face with what? The two angels, the cherubims. Now, with their wings stretched forth over the mercy seat. Mercy seat. I don't know how God did the calculation. How he has to put mercy seat on top of what? The plague. The plague, what, of commandment? And the pot, the manna, and what? And the rod. Is somebody hearing me? Which means whatever may be, any judgment rigging against you. Somebody may have said that, I have vow you will never get a job in this company. God can take that person away and make you MD of that company. Yeah. Oh. We are talking about mercy. They say that the one woman cannot conceive, that she doesn't have fallopian tube, yet God gave her triplets. God gave her triplets. That is mercy. That is mercy. Sometimes some doctors will look like a fool when we look at, say this one. But we just confirm that this woman is not in a position to carry baby. God will bypass all manner of protocol. He will bypass all manner of your weakness. God will bypass it. May his mercy be released on you in the name of Jesus. Somebody shall mercy!
Sometimes we don't try because of effort. We try because mercy is available to us. We don't try because of effort. We try because mercy is available to us. There are people who knows better than you, and you wonder, what exactly have I done? And how do you assess this mercy? Have you ever noticed somebody was on his way to hell? The thief at the right hand of Jesus Christ. He was confirmed a murderer. He was confirmed a thief. And he was to die. All of a sudden, the judgment turned. Because he was hanging between mercy. Where they have written you off, mercy will mark you right. They say he's not fine. He first will walk, but mercy will give her husband. Oh my goodness. I'm the one that you have shown mercy. You have shown me mercy. You have shown me mercy. I am the one that you have shown me mercy. You have shown me mercy. After this meeting, the happenings in your life will command the attention, because everybody will know, when did you become among the prophets? Is Saul among the prophets? He's prophesying, but we know this was nothing but mercy. The wonders, the happenings in your life will make people conclude that you are a woman, you are a man who has accepted the mercy of God. How do you explain somebody who has written you up? I will never buy anything from that woman again. I will ensure that she doesn't even come to my office again. I will ensure that nobody attends to her again. All of a sudden, things turn around much more than the number of people who turn you down are now coming. Mercy! Sir, in the absence of mercy, certificate is useless. You have not seen when somebody collect all the certificates and he's about to pick up a job. This is a true life story. Okay, quickly go and bring the original. We want to cite it. It got their rat has eaten it. And somebody sat in this another interview in the testimony we had, and he said he forgot his certificate, he forgot everything. I said, what? How come you travel all the way from there? Okay, don't worry, we just like you. All right, start. When you get it, bring all those certificates. Mercy. You can't buy it with money. If it's on you, it's on you. Hold your head, say, Father. Let me not be deficient of your mercy. I want to try. Let your mercy be available to me. Lord, pour out, oh God, the spirit of mercy upon my life, upon my business, upon my house. Mercy, oh God, upon my husband, oh my God. Mercy! In Jesus' mighty name. Number three reason why you have to pray for you to thrive, why prayer becomes a tool for thriving, is that prayer is your mighty tool for life transformation. When did the boy begin to what? When did he begin to amend? They said at the very hour that Jesus prophesied. When did that boy get here? John chapter 4, verse 53 to 55. When did he get here? He said, at the very hour that Jesus prophesied, the Father took note. At the very hour that Jesus prophesied, that go home, your son is made whole. Are you hearing me? Prayer transforms life. Prayer transforms business. It may not look like it initially. Just don't give up. Prayer transforms marriages. Is somebody hearing me? No one's heart is too hard enough for prayer not to solve. Is somebody hearing me? No man is too stubborn for prayer not to transform. Is somebody hearing me? If a human being has a stone of a heart of stone, prayer will melt it. Is somebody hearing me? He said the heart of all kings are in the hands of the Lord. Like rivers of water, it turns it whithersoever it will. It turns it. Ilamasia, dinoje, kwatata, likwatete, isisidwa. As long as Moses kept going to God, are you hearing me? Pharaoh has no choice than to continue to what? To change his mind. Is somebody hearing me? Now, it wasn't that Pharaoh was that difficult. The Bible says it was God who is adding his heart. What is it that God wants to what? To achieve from there? He also had to train his people how to what? Pray for long.
It doesn't cost God anything to make Pharaoh once. Do it 10 times because there are many plagues I need to deal with. Sometimes you are praying and you wonder, why is this battle? Why has it not ended? Only if God open your eyes to see how many gods in your family. If God open your eyes to see how many junctions they are waiting for you, he's dealing with them one after the other. One after the other. One after the other. Until they are no more. Is somebody hearing me? Not that God cannot stick out your neck. But some of you, he doesn't want you to go out prematurely. So you keep praying. 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 After a while, you discover that by the time you emerge, oh my goodness, the thriving will have no limits. Is somebody hearing me? Prayer transforms life. If you have ever seen anybody who glories, who's transformed and glory began to manifest, the same thing in business, the same thing in ministry, it is prayer that transformed them. It is prayer that transformed them. Why? What makes the environment and a life look ugly is the presence of demons. It's the presence of demons, evil spirits. And some of them are terrible, principality, territorial forces. Are you hearing me? So as you continue in prayer, you are chasing them away, changing them until a breath of fresh air will start descending. And you just say, wow, his glory is shining. So my dear son and daughter, don't keep up praying. Satan always wants you to believe that nothing is happening. But help me always remind yourself, in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41 to 44, is loading. Prayer transforms life. That is why it becomes easy, an instrument to make you thrive. Don't give up praying. Don't give up praying. Number four, prayer is your tool for divine preservation. Nothing dies as long as you continue to pray. Prayer is a tool for preservation. Prayer is a tool for preservation. If you read your Bible very well, you will discover that many times, do you know that God will have killed Aaron? Because he compromised while Moses was on the mountain. Moses came back and he looked at Aaron. If you remember one of the statements, he said, what has these people done to you? Because Moses couldn't place it. He said, do you know what happened? Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 19 and 20. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 19 and 20. He said, while I was there 40 days and 40 nights trying to seek the face of God, and he said, God was angry with you to a point that he would have killed you, but I prayed for you. He said, God was so angry with you, Aaron, that he would have killed you, but I stood in the gap. I stood in the gap. Hey, don't offend pastor that are taking bullets for you. Is somebody hearing me? That I'm telling you, there are things they face, you can't face them. He looked at Aaron, what has come over your head? He said, he will have killed you, but I prayed for you. You know how many times God told Moses, step aside, I will make another nation from you. He said, what do you want the people of the evil to say about these people? You brought them out, will you kill them in the wilderness? No, you can't do that. God said, go outside. And in fact, he got to a point, he told God, he said, repent of this your evil. I've never seen that any man of God who would dare say that. Moses said this, he told God, repent of this your evil. That is the level of friendship. Because Elomile a war for life. He told God, repent of this. If God there, your soul. And I imagine God did like this. Oh, Mumimbe. Oh, get me. Pray. And God actually mellowed. Repent of this, your evil. It shall be well with us. Tell somebody, prayer transforms life. Prayer preserves life. Apostle Peter, he thought he knows it all. He stood and he was like rebuking. Jesus Christ was sharing his destiny, his prophecy, his mission. He said, no, you are not going to go to the cross. You are not going to go. No, not when I'm alive. Naturally speaking, he meant well, but spiritually speaking, he's blind. Is somebody hearing me? Jesus Christ looked at me and said, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you, to sift you like wheat. He said, but I've prayed for you so that your faith will not fail. Luke 22, 31 to 32. I pray for you. So, there is faith failure, there is prayer failure. When you hear Christians say, I beg, I'm tired, I can no longer continue, they have stopped praying. Because prayer actually is the fuel of faith. When you see believers say, let us go to the house of the Lord, let us go and pray, it is because they are still praying. When believers stop praying, you hear all manner of nonsense coming out of their mouth. Is somebody hearing me? Because that is the state Satan is waiting for. In case you are not aware, what preserves your faith is because you are still praying. That is why prayer becomes a daily recipe for anybody who is going to thrive. Even for what is good, requires prayer. What is bad, requires prayer. Is somebody hearing me? That is what people don't know. Prayer is the breath that you take in. Is somebody hearing me? Hallelujah. Say, I hear. Say, I hear. Say, I hear. Ah, Father, I pray for these ones. Their life is preserved. Your business is preserved. In the name of Jesus Christ. Why man slept, the enemy came. Why man slept, the enemy came. Why man slept, the enemy came. If your business is going to be preserved, child of God, is not out of place. If you take away once in a week over your business, scabashing over that business, you think customer will just carry themselves and begin to come? No, there must be a stirring in the heart of men to remember you. There are many shops, there are many people doing exactly the same thing that you are doing. But what will single you out is your ringing in the spirit. You are ringing them. You are ringing them in the spirit realm. You know what Isaiah said? Isaiah 43 verse number 6. He said, you have sons and daughters that will come from the north and south. He said, he will command the north not to hold back. The east must also let go. The south must vomit what is in his care. You speak to the four corners. That is how to command your days. Listen to me. Ordinarily, people will not want to come. Satan won't want them to come. You compare them to come. That is what they call anakazo. Is somebody hearing me? There is a compelling anointing. Say, I don't want to come. I just feel like, let's just go and see. That is eye tavern. Because somebody is on his knee compelling them to come. There are sometimes, even in this church today, if you want to be sincere to us, there are some of you don't feel like coming to. But somebody has prayed before you came. You just, let me just go, let me try. And here you are, you find yourself, I can see some people smiling. Maybe the little just review. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say, I hear. Prayer is your tool for divine preservation. Number five, prayer is the answer to divine wisdom. Prayer is the answer to divine wisdom. Is anyone lack wisdom? Let him pray. Let him ask of God. Wisdom is the principal thing. And with all you're getting, get understanding. When a man is devoid of wisdom, he will do many things bad. Is somebody hearing me? Number six, prayer is a calling. Prayer is a calling. Prayer is a calling. The Bible says, let everyone, he said, look, call upon me and I will answer. Say, prayer is a calling. I am not called to pray. It's a big lie. Are you hearing? The day you give your life to Christ, you are already called into what? Into the ministry of prayer. You don't have to be in prayer band before you know you are into ministry of prayer. Because every day of your life, there is a demand on you to pray. In case you are not aware. I hope you understand. Prayer is a calling. Jeremiah 33 verse 3 says, call upon me and I will answer. Say, I hear. And number seven. Prayer is for men. Say, prayer is for men. Do you know what the Bible says in Luke 18 verse 1? Men ought always. Not boys. Not children. Men. What does that mean? It takes people that has heart. It takes people that are courageous. When things are scattered and messed up, it takes men to rise. Only men can say, let's still pray. Only men can still say, let's hold a hand. When everybody is fainting, faith hearted, but men will say, let's still pray. That is why God says men ought always to pray. Children can give up midway. Boys, when it gets to like 2-3 months, they give way, they give up, but men will persist. Men ought always. So when you see people standing in a place of prayer for long, they are men. Is somebody hearing me? Yes. And listen to me, in the absence of men, many things will be messed up. In 1 Samuel chapter 10 verse 26, the Bible says, God gave Saul people that went with him to Gibeah, men whose heart he has touched. Men whose heart he has touched. There are customers that you have to pray, God touch their heart. And some of them can stay with you for life. I'm not going anywhere again. I will stay here. God can give members to churches and they will stay. God can give somebody to your life. He said, I will give men for your life. I will give men for your life. I will continue from here tomorrow. Let's have some feet, everybody. Say men. Amen. Say men. Amen. How many men are here? Lift up your voice and say, Father. Say, Father, whatever is resisting thriving in my life, whatever is resisting thriving in my life, catch fire right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, yeah, raise your voice. Open your mouth and say, Lord, whatever is resisting thriving in my life, catch fire and be burnt to ashes. In the name of Jesus Christ. Open your mouth and say, my father, whatever is resisting thriving in my life, I set it ablaze. Whatever is challenging my thriving, in that spirit, are you sure you are praying? Open your mouth and say, Lord, whatever is resisting thriving, whatever is fighting thriving in my ministry, you are a liar. I bring you under my feet. Whatever is resisting thriving, raise your open your mouth and say, my father, I say, whatever is resisting thriving in my life, I bring under my feet, because I know everything I need to try, you have made available. Open your mouth, whatever power that has vowed to resist thriving in my life, oh yeah, catch fire, I set you ablaze in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. One more prayer before I take my seat. Hallelujah. Lord, every programming to keep me small, oh yeah, scatter beyond repair. Every programming from the pit of hell to keep my business small, to keep my life small. Oh, are you sure you are praying? Say, Father, every programming in the spirit realm from the pit of hell to keep me small, oh yeah, catch fire. Oh yeah, catch fire. Scatter beyond repair. Hey, every programming, every power, every covenant to keep me small, whatever covenant. They say you won't marry. They say you can't be more than this. Tell the devil you are a liar. Whatever covenant that is in place to keep me small, oh yeah, scatter beyond repair. Oh yeah, be torn apart in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray. Prayer is a non-transferable responsibility. Don't wait for anybody to pray for you. Raise your voice like an ensign. Whisper in the spirit. Let the Holy Ghost bring your helper in the name of Jesus. Are you sure you are praying? Every vow, every verdict declared from the foundation of my life, programmed to keep me small, scatter beyond repair, scatter to pieces. Are you sure you are praying? Some people, there is a vow over their life that they can't be more than this. It's time for you to try. God said it is no longer in his hand. Everything you need to try is already made available. Open your mouth and say, my father, every programming to keep me small, scatter in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Open your eyes and look at me. I want you to please come with every family member of yours tomorrow. I want to take you deeper into this mystery of thriving. Sometimes you wonder why some family will be wondering, maybe only one person will just stand out. Or nobody at all. It's like a pattern. Listen to me, it can be broken. Come and hear my testimony. Listen to me. Everything you need to try, God said, is no longer in his hand. He has given it to you. You now need to wrestle with that devil. He will let go. Amen. He will let go. Amen. Nobody know he will let go. Amen. It shall be well with you. Amen. You are the next to testify. Amen. I
release you to thrive. Beginning from now, let helpers locate you. Let the rain of favor come upon your life. Beginning from tonight, let doors open to you like never before. I decree where you have failed before, oh yeah, go back and succeed. Whatever covenant that is in play holding you bound is hereby broken in the name of Jesus. It says, whoever the Son of Man shall save, shall be free indeed. You are free from stagnation. You are released to progress. You are released to break forward. From today, every department of your life will walk in the name of Jesus. And so shall it be.
You have just listened to The World of His Grace through God's Choice Servant. We believe in the ability of the world to transform, renew, and change your life for the better as you embrace and do the Word of God. Join God's Choice Servant in life-changing services at the Life Cathedral, Airport Bus Stop, Samonda UA Road, Ibadan. Every Sunday service, 7:30 a.m. Lighthouse International Christian Center, where grace lived. God bless you. Real good.